It's time for Over There with Marella Rostroffer. Marella is our European correspondent. She joins us weekly. She is over there in, let me guess, Switzerland, which makes it sound small, you know? Hi, how are you?
Hi, Jill. I'm good, thank you. Yes, I'm in Switzerland, avoiding traveling, obviously. But to be really clear, the situation in Switzerland is not that brilliant. So I feel that traveling wouldn't be even that much of a dangerous challenge right now. Which brings me directly to an update of what's happening over here. So about Switzerland, I would say the last numbers are not encouraging. That means in the past 24 hours, we have had 700 new infections. That, of course, for our American friends, that might seem very little compared to the US, but let's not forget that everything is proportional and that 700 infections for a very, very small country is just too much. And I believe that it brings our infection rate close to a 9%. Which is way more than the acceptable 1% that everybody is trying to desperately keep in the different countries around the world. So that would be about Switzerland. But unfortunately, Switzerland is not alone with that. And cases are definitely rising in every single European country, which would indicate, I guess, that this famous second wave that has been so much talked about the past few months seems to be on its way. Germany has had the past 24 hours 2,600 cases. It's still 1.2% about infection rate, which is actually more than they want, but much less than other countries. France is also having an increase that apparently justified Paris to take some new measures that have been upsetting a lot of people, because bars and cafes are closed again for 2 weeks first. So it has an end. So it's not a lockdown forever. It's for the moment 2 weeks. The restaurants have the permission to stay open. But because of the 3,500 cases a day, they had to take some decisions. So we will see in 2 weeks if that has helped in any way. What we have seen also is a mini lockdown in Scotland, who also is trying to stop the increase. A lockdown in Spain, not all of Spain, in Madrid. Which is a lockdown that is not as strict as the first one. People still can go to work if they have to. I mean, possibly from home, but if they have to go to work, they can. I believe that the schools are still open and people can also go and buy groceries. So I would also call that a mini lockdown. Poland is also seeing record cases. And basically, Italy is also increasing, not as much as other countries, which is really good news considering what they have been through the first time. But they definitely are very willing to avoid getting there a second time. I guess that the good thing about Italy is that because of the trauma of what has happened last spring, people are definitely, in general, of course, one cannot speak about everybody in Italy, but there is a form of discipline due to the situation that they had the first time, which was an absolute nightmare scenario. So we can see that the update today is not very encouraging. And as I said, the rates are increasing in all of Europe, also including all the countries that I did not mention right now. That is also problematic in the sense that we have now to really understand and accept the fact that there is a pandemic fatigue, that this fatigue is also leading to many depressions and demotivation. Because basically for many people, the sacrifices have been really considerable. People have lost their job or have lost people in their families to COVID-19. You have 35 million cases in the world right now. 1 million already died. So there is this feeling that in spite of wearing masks, of social distancing, hand washing, hand sanitizing, that basically this is not really getting better. Obviously, one could argue that without those measures and without the many restrictions in our different countries, probably the situation would be even more dramatic, and we would have more cases and hospitals would be overwhelmed, leading automatically to more death. That being said, there is definitely this feeling that things are not really getting better, that the second wave, as I said, seems to be on its way, and that all the promising vaccines and treatments are still a little bit too far. And in the best case scenario, 2021, because even realistically, even if a vaccine should be available at the end of this year, it is not going to be available for everybody overnight. And that is a very well understood factor. It's going to take months, assuming that the vaccines are even efficient enough, it's going to take months to be able to vaccinate on a big scale, and also assuming that people will want to be vaccinated, because considering the speed of the research and the vaccines coming out, as you know, Jill, I think this is a worldwide phenomenon. There is a lack of trust and the fear to accept a vaccine that eventually would either not work properly or maybe even have side effects that are unexpected. So when one put all of this together, it is very easy to understand why there is this pandemic fatigue that has been also mentioned, I think, from the WHO. And I would really say that in many instances, we are going from a simple fatigue to even a form of depression for many people. And that translates then in either wanting to improve the restrictions and try to really fight it through, or it leads also to an entire category of people who don't want any of it and are going out there and protesting every single new restrictions that could eventually be put in place. So as always, in this very, I would say, difficult and weird times, the generations seem to be very separated in their opinions, and also the people in general in our societies seem to disagree on about everything that is being done in the light of this COVID-19 pandemic.
Thank you very much, Mirella Rastroffer. Over there.
My pleasure.